Reflections from Torch Trust, focusing on Christian faith and sight loss.
Hello, and welcome to Reflections, the show from Torch Trust that focuses on faith and disability in today's world. I'm your guest host, Grace Dawson. You may be wondering where your usual host, Marilyn, is today. Well, you will still be hearing her voice, because Marilyn is actually this week's special guest. So we thought we'd give her a bit of a break from presenting. Yes, this week we'll be hearing a little bit about Marilyn's own life, including her experiences as a blind person, a Christian, and a performer. This interview was originally recorded as part of Torch CEO Tim Jeffries' occasional video podcast series, Sight Loss 101, and you can catch up with all the other episodes on YouTube. Just search for Torch Trust on video. Let's go over now to Tim and Marilyn.
So Marilyn, it's wonderful that you could make time for this in your busy schedule.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tim.
That's lovely. And I wondered, many of us will know something of your story. I wonder, through that story, maybe over the different decades of your life, what are some of the things that you've sort of found most frustrating or hard about being blind? What have been some of the biggest challenges for you?
Well, I think I'll go back to the beginning. You see, my parents didn't know that I was going to be blind. And so everything seemed fine. I was premature. I say it's the only time I've ever been early. but anyway, the thing is that when I got a squint, they took me to the hospital. And, I mean, they kept me in, and that was a bit of a shock to my mum. But when they told her, just, you know, out of the blue, that I was never going to be able to see and that I would lose my sight anyway, the sight I had, she was devastated. And my father went into a sort of depression. You know, and there wasn't the support either then to help people so much. And so over the next kind of 18 months or so, I lost my sight. And apparently she saw me like trying to strain to look at the last bits of light I was catching. And I think she found that very heartbreaking, you know. Gotcha. And so I don't remember seeing anything. But actually, to be totally blind these days is unusual. I'm totally blind, and apparently there's only about 4% now in our nation that are totally blind.
Right.
Most people do have
some sort of
light sense. Yes, yeah, they do. Yeah.
But you have none. You have
none whatsoever.
No,
none whatsoever.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all. You know, because another thing, this might sound strange, but blind people, when you're totally blind, you don't see other people's gestures.
Yeah.
You don't see facial expressions.
Yeah.
And some blind people can actually, now this does sound a bit hard, but look a little bit expressionless if they've never seen. I mean, that's just a fact. Or they can rock or put their head down and all that. It's because we're not really aware of how people are looking at us. We don't think too much about it, perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm sure some do. But I remember when I was about 13, somebody said to me, when you're talking to somebody, look at them. And I said, look at them. I said, I can't see them anyway. I said, I've got my ear to them. She said, but that's not the point. If you turn your head towards somebody, it makes them feel that you are paying attention to them. And I thought, gosh, I never even thought of that.
No, of course.
And then the other thing that was interesting, they said, you know, learn to smile more. I said, smile more? I said, well, I've got laughing in my heart. She said, yes, but let it express itself on your face. She said, it makes all the difference to your communication skills. And I love communication. And perhaps some people think, how silly to have all that told you. But really, it helped me quite a lot.
Rusty memories. Many ports you've seen, and still your search goes on, hoping that you'd find your way. But loneliness and pain are all you'll ever find, until your captain is the Lord.
That was Sail On Sailor by Mustard Seed Faith. Let's hear a bit more from Marilyn and Tim now.
In a way, my dad was too depressed to cope with my blindness. And what happened was he kept on saying things that made me feel totally excluded and that I was a disappointment. So things like he'd say things, oh, you wouldn't understand that because you can't see. And he'd explain things to my friends, what he was doing, like making something in his workshop or whatever. And then I'd say, what's that, Dad? No, you wouldn't get it. So I didn't feel believed in.
Yeah.
That was a hard thing, actually, growing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that was quite a difficult thing for me because I so wanted that affirmation from my father. I've had to have a lot of, you know, being a Christian has helped me. Because my heavenly father, I know how much of an encourager he is. And I'm, you know, my dad couldn't help it. He was kind of orphaned himself. So he didn't know how to make relationships very well. But my mother, she did believe in me. And I went to a school for blind people when I was five. And I know that some of the people telling their stories on your show have said how hard it is to leave your parents and that when you're five. And it is. I felt that I missed my family very much. But then when I was, and then I went to a boarding school near London, Chorley Wood, it was a grammar school. And then I went to the Royal College of Music. Now that was interesting. I'd never mixed with sighted peers.
Right. Okay, yeah, I suppose being in blind schools from the beginning. Yeah.
And I didn't have any brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And I went to this hostel where I lived. I had to learn my way to a hostel quite a long way away, but in the end that served me well, and I got quite excited about travelling on the tube.
Yeah. It sounds, you know, to a sighted person, Marilyn, it sounds so brave. That you could do that, and I can't imagine going on the tube and through all the, you know, escalators and tunnel ways and stuff with all the signposts.
Well, I used to get guided off of that. Yeah, I used to get guided, and I used to ask people for help.
Yeah.
And I did have a guide dog at one time. I can't even believe it now, but we used to have to carry our guide dogs on escalators.
Good grief.
Good grief. I don't know how. And no wonder I've got a bit of a bad back. It was a heavy dog. And I used to get members of the public to give me a hand.
Oh, really?
With the dog. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Who would scrabble around in our arms and things like that.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I suppose it, and how, in terms of asking for help, because we British are not always very good at that. How has that been for you?
Well, I'm quite an extrovert person, I don't really mind asking, but sometimes you can ask and you don't know why they're not watching you or looking. You see, you haven't got the eye contact. I think that's another very important thing about being blind. If you're in a crowd, you can't pick somebody out.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't spot someone across the other side of a room and say, hey, nice to, glad you're here at church or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You're much more reliant on them coming up to you.
Interesting.
And that makes, you know, communication in a crowd more difficult. You haven't got the visual cues as to when you can join in the conversation.
You're the Same by Leslie Phillips. We'll be hearing the final part of Marilyn's interview later in the show, but now it's time for the next part in our Smart Speaker Guide by Matthew Horsfall. Over to you, Matthew.
Torch Trust's Guide to Smart Speakers. Accessing the Torch Library via RealSam. RealSam is a skill developed by RealThing. It's based on the In Your Pocket smartphone and brings together content from various sight loss organisations in one place. It is a paid-for service. You don't get it for free. It costs £19.90 for the first year, and then it rises very steeply. There's an ongoing subscription of £9.95 per month or £99.50 per year. There's some setup involved because it's a paid-for skill. You'll need to link your Amazon or your Google account to RealSam using a short string of letters and numbers, which will be provided to you by RealThing. When you speak this, you do actually need to speak it phonetically. So, for example, if the string was A, B, C, D, E, you would have to say Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo. They will provide it in that form for you. In an email or what have you, but you do actually need to use that, otherwise it won't recognize it. You'll also need to grant the skill some permissions to access basic information such as your name and your email address, and you may need to do that
in the apps for Amazon Alexa or Google Home. If you need a hand with this, the best people to talk to would be the people at Real Sam, and you can phone them on 01733 514 612, or you can visit www.inyourpocket.net/shop. Now, I'm going to do this demonstration entirely on Google Home, but the principles will be the same. It's just that on Amazon Alexa, you'd have to say activate Real Sam instead of talk to Real Sam. Talk to Real Sam.
This is Real Sam Service UK speaker, version the 13th of April 2021. Speaker release January 18th. Matthew, you can now ask, for instance, list books or user guide.
List books.
Listing available book sources. 1. Recently read. 2. Your bookshelf. 3. Caliber Audio Library. 4. LibriVox Audio Library. 5. TorchTrust Audio Library. Say a number or words from the options.
5.
Welcome to the Free Torch Library, which is the largest collection of Christian books in the English language. Accessible for those with sight loss, over 1,600 titles. Covering theological, devotional, missionary, biographical and Christian leisure reading. Listing books. Initial 5 of thousands. 1. Island Girl, The, by Molly Thompson. 2. Caleb's Lamb, by Helen Santos. 3. Cross of Christ, The, by John R. W. Stott. 4. God's Gloves, by Jennifer Rees Larkham. 5. Lessons from a Sheepdog, by W. Philip Keller. Say a number or words from the options or say next to advance. You can also say, jump forward or backwards a number. You can refine by saying things like, read by Warren. In case you want to add a book to your bookshelf, say add and its number.
3.
You selected Cross of Christ, The. Say, play, or, go back, or, add to my bookshelf. Description: many people are unclear about the meaning of the cross and cannot understand why Christ had to die. The author explains its significance and answers the objections commonly brought against biblical teaching on the atonement. Author: John R. W. Stott.
Play.
Reading Cross of Christ, The. Before you can read books from Torch Trust, you must accept the related terms and conditions of use. You are currently reviewing the terms and conditions of Torch Trust and In Your Pocket. Say, cancel, at any time if you do not accept them. 1. Read In Your Pocket terms for using Torch Trust. 2. Read the Torch Trust terms and conditions. 3. Accept these terms and conditions. Say a number or say help for more information.
3.
Please confirm that you wish to accept the terms and conditions to view Torch Trust books. Say, yes, to confirm or, cancel, to cancel.
Yes.
Okay, accepted. Starting the Cross of Christ. Please wait.
The Cross of Christ by John R. W. Stott. Recorded for the sole use of the blind by the Torch Trust for the Blind. Torch House, Hallerton, Market Harbour.
Okay. So, as you can hear, that book has now started playing. Now, I left those terms and conditions in because that is what happens the first time you listen to a book, and I wanted you to get a feel for that. Obviously, I would advise that you read the terms and conditions before you accept them, but for the purposes of this recording, I thought it would be expedient just to accept them. Stop. Now, that has really only scratched the surface of what can be done with the Real Sam skill. And it does have a lot of libraries, as you hear. It has Caliber and it has LibriVox. And you can do a lot more with it in terms of accessing local society news. And indeed, it has its own curated podcast player built in. So it's well worth looking at the rest of what Real Sam has to offer if you've bought it. But for the purposes of this demonstration, that is all I'm going to demonstrate. But as you can hear, the Torch Library, the entire Torch Audio Library, is available, and it is available for no extra cost apart from the cost of the Real Sam subscription in the first place.
Just before we hear the final part of Marilyn's interview, I'd like to share some of the ways you can find out more about Marilyn's ministry. As Tim mentioned at the start of the interview, Marilyn and her friend and ministry partner, Tracy Williamson, have written a book entitled A Beautiful Tapestry, which tells the story of how God has used Marilyn and Tracy to share his love with the world. It features amazing answers to prayer, lives changed, and lots of adventures with their service dogs. You can also listen to Marilyn's podcast, Hope for the Heart. Just go to marilynbaker.podbean.com. To find out more about what else Marilyn and Tracy are up to, including devotionals, concerts, and events, go to their website, mbm-ministries.org. And that's also where you can purchase copies of Marilyn's CDs and Tracy's books. So that's mbm-ministries.org. Okay, Tim and Marilyn, back to you once more.
So when I'm public speaking, I feed off an audience and I make eye contact with absolutely everybody I can and try and draw them in. I can't imagine doing what you do and being so effective at it without... Oh. How does that work for you?
Well, you know what? I have got this theory that if we talk to somebody, we've always got to, whether it's one or a thousand, you talk to them as if there's only one of them.
Uh-huh.
I've always felt that really each person needs to feel personal with you somehow. And so I've just had to trust. I mean, there's no other way of knowing whether they're... I mean, if you're in a live event, then if they clap or they laugh with you... I love having jokes with my audience. Yeah. I think audiences are great because, you know, you can have fun with them and you can make them laugh. And sometimes I plan a program and then I think, oh, this audience is a bit too serious. I need to do something else. And so I change my program, thank goodness, at the drop of a hat. Very I never good. Mind doing that. No. That might be one of the things that I can do. I like spontaneity.
Yeah.
But I think really the key is making sure that you are communicating things that you find interesting, I suppose, and hopefully they will too, and putting your heart and soul into that communication. But I can't guarantee that they're paying attention. We lack the feedback. Yeah. So that's why I think it's very important when someone who can see is with a blind person that you don't presume they know things. Of course, you know, you could presume too much, or you could give them too much info. And if the person's a bit kind of feisty and a bit of a bad mood, they say, oh, don't tell me that, I know that already. Well, that's unfortunate if they're like that. But it's better to be more verbal.
Yes.
It's better to say things. Better, you know, if I'm in an area, I was walking around Eastbourne the other day, and I said to my friend, well, what? Are there any shops around? Oh, yes, she said, as if to say, don't you know? I thought, no, I didn't really. I didn't know whether there were shops or whether it was just residential housing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, I didn't know. The other thing I think about being blind, actually, is that I've learnt, and believe me, I'm sure many have, whether they can see or not see, but the detail of God's care.
Huh.
Now, like if I lose something on the floor,
yeah,
or whatever it is, you know, if nobody's around, who do I talk to? I chat to him, my wonderful Father God. And I say, you know, Lord, I've lost this. Now, where could it be? Now, I can't say that every time I find it, but often I do.
And can you see how your sort of view of God, your understanding of God has changed over the years?
Absolutely. When I first became a Christian, I was extremely black and white. Everything was, you know, you do this and you don't do that. And it was all to do with, like, performance as well. If I did well as a Christian, if I had my quiet time every single day and did everything, then God would love me and forgive me, because we live in a very performance-orientated world, don't we?
We do.
But the thing is that I've come to understand, not that these things aren't important, spending time with God, etc., but that doesn't constitute why he loves me. And I think that is what has changed about me, really, and my understanding of him. I don't want to become sloppy and over-liberal, but I do want to become flexible even more in his hands. and try to see things from his perspective.
Yeah. That's so true, isn't it? I weep when I see older folks who are increasingly brittle in their attitudes and stuff. And
yeah, that's right, brittle.
Yeah,
brittle.
And the beauty of people who have spent a lifetime with God being moulded and mellowed and are just beautifully gentle, loving people.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're on my list of those.
Oh, that's very nice to say. I love it when people spend time with the Lord like that and they really know him. They're what I call comfortable people.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, comfortable to be around.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. Yeah, that's lovely. Marilyn, such a joy to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Marilyn's song, Sitting at His Feet. Well, I'm sorry to say that we're all out of time for today. I do hope you enjoyed learning a little bit more about our wonderful host, Marilyn. If you've got any comments, questions, or suggestions about our show, then please do get in touch on 01858 438 260. That's 01858 438 260. Or you can drop us an email. Our address is info@torchtrust.org. Until next week, from me, Grace, and everyone on the Reflections team, goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to Reflections from Torch Trust.